Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Act 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dayatas Charanam Bhojam Bhavanirjita Chetasa. Okantyasru kalakshasya vidyasin nationai hadi. As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in my heart. Purport, the word bhava is significant here. This bhava is attained after one has transcendental affection for the Lord. The first initial stage is called sraddha, or a liking for the Supreme Lord. And in order to increase that liking, one has to associate with pure devotees of the Lord. The third stage is to practice the prescribed rules and regulations of devotional service. This will dissipate all sorts of misgivings and remove all personal deficiencies that hamper progress in devotional service. When all misgivings and personal deficiencies are removed, there is a standard faith in the transcendental matter, and the taste for it increases in greater proportion. The stage leads to attraction, and after this there is bhava, or the prior stage of non-alloyed love for God. All the above different stages are but different stages of development of transcendental love. Being so surcharged with transcendental love, there comes a strong feeling of separation, which leads to eight different types of ecstasies. Tears from the eyes of the devotee is an automatic reaction. And because Sri Narada Muni in his previous birth attained that stage very quickly after his departure from home, it was quite possible for him to perceive the actual presence of the Lord, which he tangibly experienced by his development. Spiritual senses without material tinge. Omi Ganitimanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Daksur and Mulatangena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're reading the instructions of Narada to his disciple Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva had the service of editing the Vedas. And as we know, despite all his work, he felt deficient, because he hadn't sufficiently described and inspired the perfectional stage, which is unalloyed love for God. And he was feeling that in his heart, and this was such a significant spiritual point, that God is in our heart, and he's always instructing us. But because we're so distracted externally and even internally by the voices of the mind, we can't hear that voice above all that chatter. So very, very sincere soul who calms his mind, the Bhagavad Gita says, the one whose senses are controlled, the super soul is at reach. God in the heart is at reach. So he's a very sincere soul. So he searches inward and he tries to find that voice and he has an intuition. But to confirm the intuition, the same voice appears externally in the form of the guru or the spiritual teacher. This is called the transcendental system. God wants to enlighten us. Even sometimes it's said that, I know this from a great saint, a scholar, Vrindavan, when I was talking to him, we were sharing realizations. He says that sometimes when God wants to increase our faith, so usually in times of need, but we can't contact him due to the limitations of the corporal plane. He sometimes may even come in dreams. But anyway, Guru came, that was Narada, and he really told him that he hadn't sufficiently glorified Krishna. And then he began to explain why. That this was the essence of the Vedas. It's not only the essence of the Vedas, but actually it's the best process. To overcome ego, the most effective thing is love. Analysis won't move us out of the center. Love will move us out of the center. Therefore, spiritual life, which means to move out of the center, the most effective way is, yes, by having knowledge and understanding that actually that position that we crave, that we move for, that position actually is a position that doesn't satisfy our hearts. Without satisfying our hearts, we can never be happy. You can have the center, you can have the control, and that's why you see, people become the president, people become a politician, people get the rock star, and they're not satisfied. They got what they want, which is the power to control the resources of the world to please their senses and ego, but still they're not satisfied. Because the real satisfaction is the satisfaction of the heart, which means bhakti or love or devotion. And the topmost devotion is to love everything. That's to love God. It's like there's sometimes that analogy that Srila Prabhupada gives if someone gets a beautiful bird and then looks for this beautiful bird cage. It becomes enamored with the bird cage but doesn't feed the bird, then the bird dies. The bird cage is for the bird. So everything is for that heart, that soul, which is consciousness, which only reaches its fruition of happiness and satisfaction in love. And therefore, those teachings which don't sufficiently present that, sufficiently inspire that, Narada's instructions is that they don't have real value. Yes, there's jnana. Yes, there's karma. Yes, there's yoga. But why? Not as ends in themselves, but the means to calm the mind, perhaps, to control the senses, for sure, so that one can become so that one can become satisfied in heart. And therefore, the culmination, he's explaining to him, the culmination of the Vedas, and there's a whole progression, is in the Bhagavatam, which is the main bhakti scripture, which presents the ultimate object of love, Akhila Rasa Amrita Murti, the full manifestation of God, which is the heart of God, which is the love of God, which is the relationships of God, which is the beauty of God, which is Krishna. And that's his message. And especially because Vyas was trying to edit the Vedas for the people of today who are so unqualified to spiritualize. We don't know how unqualified we are until we actually see people in a culture that are qualified. And I lived in India almost 40 years. And 40 years ago, the people I would meet, the discipline they had, and the character they had, and the integrity they had, it's hard to find people like that anymore. People who will die for truth. People whose word becomes a fact. So, he tells his personal story, Narada. And his personal story is very moving because he's just this son of the maidservant. He's just this son of the maidservant. And then he describes his own journey. And how it becomes purified, and the key elements in it. But the main element is if you want a pure heart, you have to associate, hear from, and serve one who has a pure heart. And you have to see the mode of service external. This was so conditioned that we think that the periphery, the mood of humility, the mood of servant is disadvantageous. It's something of austerity. You have to see what it looks like when someone lives for others. Yesterday, my students, they celebrate called Vyasa Puja, and they worship the teacher. So once a year, as a service, I accept this. It more corresponds with my birthday according to the Indian calendar than the lunar calendar rather than by the sun or something. Which I mean, the birthday would be October 13th, but somehow it was celebrated yesterday, and there's beautiful families out in New Jersey who are my longest students. And they're beautiful families. And when they organize a function, I mean, because I'm, those of you that bought the immersion know how particular I am, that it's perfect. From every last detail, including the 16-course feast that they made to everybody, the way it was served out. Even my mother and my elder brother came, and the special table with them, with the how the plates are set out, the little, where their names are there. It just, everything was just so. So a lot of, I knew all these people before they got married. So now their children are 13 or 14. The children grew up with me and their families as practically, a grandfather. And when I came to the function, all the children came out from all different ages to hug me. So I was so pleased that I saw one of the girls, she's 13. She performed beautiful dances and offering amazing how talented she is. And I saw her serving the prasadam, and I just told her, I said, you're only a young girl, but you have understood the conclusions of the teaching, that this is the happiness, the happiness of the serving. She's understood that. Anyway, Narada Muni, and we'll get to today's verse pretty soon, and today's also Sunday in the Bhakti Center. I'm also speaking at class, will be at 11 o'clock, but I have to finish here. So Narada begins to describe his life. How he was unfortunate, but the process. Here, in this verse, he's describing, we're going to talk about today, how he's come to the perfectional state, where love is at its height. But he described how this happened, and the key elements are there. That he was forlorn in life, but humble in consciousness. And if being forlorn, is that the word, in life, makes one humble in consciousness, then your apparent unfortunate situation is the greatest gift. But somehow he was humble. Somehow or other he had the right karmic combination. That's just not even knowing his father. And that humility, humility allowed him to serve. Without humility, you cannot serve. The greatest misfortune is if one becomes a guru and stops becoming a disciple. Or becomes a guru and thinks he's a guru. It's the greatest misfortune to lose the consciousness of humility, the understanding, and the desire to submit to truth. And the people who possess it and disseminate it. Without that, we have no locus standi. We have no love in our heart. So somehow or other, that is spiritual life. That comes by great fortune. If you can become attracted legitimately to God and the representatives of God, and that you feel like serving, and you're happy in that condition. I was reading, I forgot where I was reading that. I have to... Where was I reading that? Yes, Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Piyojita, Janita. The instructions of Sutta Goswami, he said, when one performs bhakti, automatically one gets jnana. What is that gyan? What is that knowledge? It's that understanding with conviction. To be happy, small, in relationship to something great, which is God. That conviction. It doesn't come by analysis, it comes by mercy. Somehow or other, by the association of someone who embodies that consciousness, if somehow or other that feeling can enter into your heart, that attraction for reality, of which we are only an infinitesimal part of, and to be so happy to be an infinitesimal part of reality. To be so happy to be in the position of servant. The Shishastram says Anandam Buddhi Ardhanam. That bhakti, we may be infinitesimally small, but our capacity, Anandam Buddhi, is an ocean of expanding bliss. Size does not compromise love. Lack of position does not compromise love. Insignificance does not compromise love. And if your faith and goal is love, then tasyeva heto priyateta kovido talabhyate yadvam, then you search for that. That becomes your goal. And that's what the practice of bhakti is. Bhakti begins, as it's said here, with shraddha. Shraddha means faith. It's that conception, that realization. I remember when I got the bhakti lata bij, that seed, that conception, that faith. Pramanda brahmate, konya bhagavan, jiva, guru, krishna, prasadi, pai, bhakti lata. Wandering from universe to universe, from species of life, till by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets that idea, one gets that taste. I didn't have that idea before I met my Guru. That the ultimate sublimity is to serve God. I thought ultimate sublimity is to move the world to serve me. So Narada somehow or other was so humble. And somehow that humility gave him the vision to see humility and appreciate humility personified in the form of these great saints who were staying at the little hotel, which, whatever it is, sometimes maybe a few rooms where these sages were staying, these saints were staying during the rainy season. And he was just doing humble service. And he became attracted to their nature. And they saw his faith. They saw his shraddha, his capacity to accept and embrace the reality of bhakti. And therefore, so much came into this young boy. In such a short time. Advancement is a gradual process, because it could also come so quickly. It could also come so quickly. That's the nature of faith. It works different from gyan or austerity. Because once you open yourself up to reality, reality can pour through your mind and your senses and your consciousness and convince you of that reality. Like a piece of cotton in water immediately becomes absorbed. A piece of iron, water does not come so easily. So we're following this Narada, and somehow or other his mother dies. She's bit by a snake. And somehow or other, with that faith also means sharanagata. Faith means surrender. It's what surrender mean in Sanskrit? Sharanagata. That you go for shelter. You're confident. You're confident in that relationship with the divine that you are maintained in every way. You lose any type of fear that you have. You become fearless. I was thinking today that all anxiety is connected to the desire to enjoy and control. All anxiety, practically speaking. As it's our anxiety that we're losing something or something's not going to go our way. It all has to do with control of the world. I'm thinking, you know, and I'm watching, I hope I'm advancing a little bit, can watch my mind. And even if I can look at it, it's so real sometimes, these. And I just see you have one major anxiety, and somehow if you get over that major anxiety, then the next day you have some other anxiety. Something that was so unimportant the day before when you had that major anxiety. And then when the major anxiety goes, then that minor anxiety becomes so real. In so many silly ways in which we want, but one who has faith, one who has devotion, one who has love, then his happiness is within his own hands. Because it has to do not with his destiny, what happens with one, but with one's free will, how one is responding. Doesn't matter the external circumstances. So anyway, what we have here is Narada, he somehow loses his mother, and he just has the inclination just to wander in the forest, and as it fades, continues to build. Because he realized, I thought my mother was protecting me, I thought whatever, I was protecting myself, but here I have none of those protections, but food is coming, water is coming, shelter is coming. So where is it coming from? It's coming from where it always was coming from, God. And then at a particular time, he's feeling so much dependence and love, it inspires him to go into a deep meditation. And that's the part we're up to now. And then what happened is, he saw God directly within his heart. And now it's described very high feelings of ecstasy. Every part of the body became separately enlivened, he's absorbed. In this ecstatic feeling of prema, it's the goal, love of Godhead. And you can feel it in every part of your body. It means all the senses. You become thrilled at every moment in that divine communion with the supreme object of love. And therefore, you experience it with your mind and all your senses. And then it becomes super sensuous. It's through the sense of faith, the sense of heart, the sense of love. And one becomes completely overwhelmed. Prabhupada said that these feelings have no mundane comparison. Difficult to give expression to such feelings. It's like a child, like a girl of 9. If you try to explain to her what is sex desire, how are you going to explain it? She has no frame of reference. So these higher states of ecstasy, we have little frame of reference. But all the senses become awakened to the mood of service. The ears, the eyes, we serve through the senses. And we do something in service. So all the senses become enlivened. Oh, I'm actually reading the next verse. But here what it says is, he began to meditate, God appears. And this is called bhava. And this is in Krishna conscious theology. It's the maturity of faith. It's the maturity of this happiness and experience and conviction of love and service to the highest degree. And Prabhupada in the purport is paraphrasing a verse by Rupa Goswami, Adau Shraka Tata Sadhu Sangha. How it begins? It begins with some kind of appreciation. As Prabhupada said, the first stage is called Shraddha or liking. All of a sudden, that becomes attractive to you. But to serve God. Savai Pumso Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktiya Adoksicha Hoitiki Apratiyata. And we're going to discuss today in the Bhagavatam class. So what is the absolute and ultimate good? What is the essence of the scripture? It says the supreme dharma is bhakti. That by which God is pleased. Just like the supreme dharma for the hand is that by which the body is pleased. So look at the reality as a cosmic body. Consciousness, we're part of that supreme consciousness. And our supreme dharma, our supreme duty, is to please that. And in pleasing that, everything's pleased. Like the hand serves the body, everything is happy. So that consciousness, that's bhakti, is what I am doing pleasing to universal truth, to God? Is it pleasing what I am doing? Not is it pleasing to me. Is it pleasing to something beyond me that I'm part of? I discussed yesterday in my class the very important concept of harmony. Harmony is happiness. What disturbs harmony? Separate interests. We're always part of something greater than ourselves. Serving of which serves ourselves. Look at a family. If it's an intact family, what's a beautiful family? It's a beautiful family where there's an interest of the family that's the interest of everyone. And what disturbs the family? When someone is selfish. When someone has their separate interests. So there's a cosmic reality. And what disturbs it? Our separate interests. And when there's separate interests, then we can't enjoy love. When you are harmonized with the universal interest, there's such a connection called bhava or love. Because harmony is ultimately with love. And this is an ultimate love. So Prabhupada in the purport is describing this is what happened to Narada by this process, by associating with sincere spiritual people, by advanced spiritual teachers, by serving them, by hearing from them, by learning their teachings. And what are teachings? What are spiritual teachings? It's the desire of God. It's the, and what is that desire? The desire is this ultimate harmony. that everything functions in relationship to everything else, and how to come to that function. The essence is love. Love of God. Then we'll be in harmony. And the ultimate harmony is rasa vaisa. The ultimate reality is this exchange of love. And that's the desire of the ultimate reality. It's love of the ultimate reality, love of everything and part of the ultimate reality. See here, it's described. And this is what sadhana bhakti is. This is what the practice, what is the practice of bhakti? Every practice has to have an objective. And what is the objective of bhakti? It's to attain this consciousness. Where what's in your heart is how I can please. Not me, 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 me. How I can please God, how I can please Krishna. And the ultimate value of my activities is that they do that. Because we know the teachings which represent that reality and represent how to come to that reality, which is the desire of that reality. So what is the sadhana bhakti? It's the utilization of the senses. It's how you live your life to get that. So now he got that because he lived his life. It goes through stages. First is an appreciation. And then after there's an appreciation, if that appreciation develops, that you begin to experience your soul, your consciousness, and what love means, and what it means to express that love through the chanting of the holy name, then what happens is, sadhu sangha, you begin to associate with those people who are on that path, who have that objective. And then what happens? You begin to adopt the practices because shraddha or faith, or the word shraddha, faith is one thing, faith is I believe or don't believe, this is a conception based on experience. Of what experience? Of love of God, prema pumartha mahan, that is the greatest value, the greatest wealth. So what happens? The liking increases. You begin to associate. It's called satsang. And you begin to practice. Then anartha nivritti, those things which don't have value to your soul, gradually. And when I say don't have value to your soul, even your pleasures can have value to your soul if they're done just to keep the body and mind together and what you need to be peaceful for spiritual life. And then it describes nishtha. It's so good that one becomes fixed. And when you become fixed, this wonderful taste comes into your consciousness called ruchi. It's just like when you have water. Krishna says, I'm the taste of water. But we can't taste water when it's mixed with things. So when bhakti becomes bhakti, when you're actually serving without any motives, when your bhakti is causeless, when you are serving out of love, not for anything for yourself, then you definitely become fixed in that conception, then you get taste. And here it's described that taste increases. And then comes this bhava. And then from that comes prema. And then in the next verse he describes to Vyasadeva, so what happened to me just by hearing the beautiful pastimes of Krishna and the people who love Krishna. Just by hearing that perfection of love, I became so inspired, I dedicated my life to it. And this is what happened in my meditation, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I cannot see both myself and the Lord. Purport. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. Therefore, it is very difficult to give expression to such feelings. We can just have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Sri Narada Muni. Each and every part of the body or senses has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses became fully awakened to render service unto the Lord, because in the liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in serving the Lord. So this is the change of consciousness. The senses go from lust and greed to service. The senses are for service. You're looking at beautiful things, but to offer in love. You're tasting fine things, but things that you've offered in love so you can taste the happiness of someone else. So the senses become enlivened. And in such, and as such, in their transcendental ecstasy, it so happens that the senses become separately enlivened to serve the Lord. This being so, Narada Muni lost himself in seeing both himself and the Lord simultaneously. The transcendental form of the Lord as it is satisfies the mind and senses, Narada is explaining, and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up being perturbed, as is usual when one loses that which is desirable. So let's stop for today now. If anyone has any questions, they may ask. Wash your hands and make sure it's hot, okay? Anybody like to ask any questions? Okay. Anybody like to say hello?
Haribol Maharaj, this is Shradanjali Devi Dasi. I have a question.
Yes.
When you were saying, it's excellent, super, super excellent today, thank you. When you were saying, the cause of is that feeling of control, you know, wanting to enjoy and to control, would you say that, I was just wondering, is there any relationship to, like, you know, because there's so many evil things going on in the world, not that there ever haven't been, but it seems especially fierce right now. Does that have also a connection to the desire, the desire to control and enjoy?
Well, obviously, if people just have the desire to serve, of course, there can be service for, a policeman if he has to protect, or a kshatriya, and they say a warrior protects people from hurt. So even in that way, people can defend themselves, et cetera. But yes, what happens is that people have a desire to control. And it enters into all spheres of life. It enters into everything. Yeah, and people who are actually spiritual and actually loving, obviously, they're the only I don't know file, whatever it is protection, not exploitation. There's so much compassion and love in their hearts. What were you going to ask?
Cloak themselves in, you know, pseudo-religious terms. It's like the fruit of their actions, then you can tell whether it's a desire.
Well, I mean, it's so far in the name of God, people do horrible things too, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, if you love God, you have a conception of God. God means inclusive. So it doesn't come into sectarian religion. It doesn't. How can you love God? And how can you love God and hate, you know, others? How can you hate something that's part of God? So where is that hate coming from? It's not coming from the soul. It's not coming from pure spiritual teachings. It's coming from ego.
Right.
Now, it can't come from that. A legitimately spiritual person, he sees everyone as a part of God. I mean, it doesn't mean that a parent can't discipline his children out of love. I mean, there's that element.
But right, right.
When it becomes hate, it's not part of the soul. It's definitely part of the desire to control, and it's an insecurity in one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else like to ask a question? Or anybody else like to say hello?
Patty Bow.
Who's that?
This is Shaitanya Priya. I was trying to speak and didn't realize I was still muted.
Thank you.
I am so pleased to hear about your Vyasa Puja celebration yesterday, because John had mentioned it that he wanted to go, that he was going. And he also talked about... Pardon me?
That would have been a surprise.
And he also talked about his desire to invite you here, you know, over in this part of the country on the west. I don't know if that was transmitted to you, but it just, for me, it was, even if, you know, you haven't come or may not be able to come this time, it was just wonderful recalling that conversation I had with him when he expressed those desires, because I got so excited when I heard that, you know, you may come. I said, so wonderful to see you again.
Thank you, Chaitanya Priya, and I'll keep that in my mind. Thank you.
I also have a question. I've been listening to this conversation about Narada for a long time now. Since you started it, I've lost a lot of it also, because I've not been completely consistent. But where are you reading from? What is the text you're reading this from?
The text is 1:6. I think today we covered 16 and 17.
Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Anybody else
super
like this? Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, and Hortan Bhattada.
Thank you, Govardhan. How was your program last night?
Guru Maharaj.
It went well. Good. Thank you. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? I think a lot of people were at the party yesterday, so maybe they didn't get back yet. Okay. Bunch of culprits. Bunch of culprits are just circuit to 70 people.